It's good to be back. It's good to hear God's word. We need God's word. And today's sermon, I could have titled Spiritual Warfare Part 2, understanding my brother Larry filled in last Sunday and shared God's word with you, and his sermon was called Spiritual Warfare. And today connects and follows perfectly and overlaps even with the word last Sunday. Thank you, brother Larry, by the way, again. He did an excellent job. Yes, sir. All praise to God, indeed. Well, I'll start with the question for you today. Do you ever feel like you're being watched? And do you ever feel like you're being followed? And I mean, yes, watched and followed like by a predator. Well, if you believe in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, I can tell you, you are being watched and followed by a predator, the devil. You keep that in mind as we're looking at God's word today. And today, by the way, will be the last sermon going through the letter of 1 Peter, which we've been going through this season beginning last fall. And today we'll conclude looking at 1 Peter 5, picking up at verse 8, and I'm going to read through verse 11. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Going to first look at the devil's method as given to us here, in part of verse 8, that he prowls about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Prowls about. The Greek word behind the word prowl here is peripateo. Sounds very much like peripatetic, which is a word we use for someone actually defining a person who continually walks around. Para means around or about, and pateo means to walk or tread or be on the move or follow. So the devil prowls about, peripateo, treading around, following. If you've seen a lion, perhaps at the zoo, and I'm thinking like an old time zoo, they're not so cagey anymore like this, but you picture a lion in a cage just pacing back and forth, restless. But this lion we're talking about is not in a cage, but on the loose and restlessly prowling about continually. In fact, he is looking and watching and following so closely, sometimes you may have had a sense that he's breathing right down your neck. If this makes you uncomfortable, it should. And the Greek word behind the word looking, so prowls about like a roaring lion looking. Now, I think if we think about walking and looking, you can kind of picture a casual stroll. You're just out for a walk, and you're just looking around, noticing, well, this isn't this kind of looking. The Greek word is zetone. I'm tempted to put a little Italian on it as I read it. It looks like zetone, but it's zetone, and it doesn't mean just to look or glance or casually see, but to actually seek. So you're looking with intent, with desire, even is built into the word. Seeking, desiring, searching. Again, this prowl kind of predatorial look from the devil. You know, I want to pause just for a second because Trevor read from Isaiah 59, and the first verse that he started with was Isaiah 59, 15. And there's a part in that verse which, had I not been looking at this context about thinking about the devil and about him being on the prowl, I would not have noticed this. But Isaiah 59:15 says, whoever shuns evil becomes a prey, P-R-E-Y. That's fascinating. It's one of those verses, you know, we just read and there's so much we don't latch onto. Whoever shuns evil, now that means sin. That means the wickedness of the world. That means your own sinfulness. In order to shun evil in God's sight, you must turn to God himself. That's the only way to shun evil. Now, if you turn to God, you turn to Jesus Christ, you become prey. Prey for whom? For the devil. You know, that's why he's looking. Those who have turned to Jesus Christ, who believe in him, who follow him, the devil is on the prowl, yes, after you. Roaring, says, prowling about like a roaring lion. The Greek word behind roaring is oriominous. If I take that second part and just say it, ominous, it's right in the word, ominous. This is an ominous roar. And if you've ever heard, has anyone actually heard a lion? Like in person, in animal, you know, right there. Have you heard a roar? Some have. Could you feel it? You can. You don't just hear a lion's roar. If they're roaring, you feel it. In fact, your whole body might feel it. All the hairs on your arms and back of your neck might stand up. A lion's roar. I've only heard it, you know, recordings of it. But even that has that effect. You can feel it. Now, a lion's roar begins like any cat. This is a very big cat, but actually from down in the abdomen, again, it's not just from the mouth kind of sound, not even just from the throat, but we're going all the way down into the gut. It's a guttural, abdominal, full body sound. And it starts, we might say, with a purr. Now, this isn't a calm, petting a little cat kind of purr. This is, again, if you have a subwoofer or have heard this sound from a stereo, or it's not just this sound up here, but you can feel it. It's that kind of purr before the actual roar. This is the devil's first tactic oftentimes. Starting way back in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, where there in the form of a serpent, it wasn't a roar, but we could even imagine it was like a whisper, and you can hear a hiss in the whisper, yes. And it begins with, did God really say? Kind of this purring whisper in order to get some doubt started and to distract you from, yes, what God has said. Doubt, distraction, and to distort. Get in your mind and start to distort the truth. Start to distort reality. Start to even distort your own thinking and your perception of all things. Did God really say, is this really actually true? To just start to drift from God. Well, if the purr, if you will, that whisper doesn't have its effect that the devil wants, we then go to this more oriominous sound that it's talking about. And not only can this word be translated as roar, it can be translated as howl. Has anyone heard an animal howl? This can have an eerie kind of effect as well, right? The howling of a beast. And the howl can come from a wounded purr, an animal that is in crying out, who the animal itself is disturbed and crying out with a howl for some reason. Now, I want to take you back to, well, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about being God's flock, his sheep. And Psalm 23, the great psalm, where we read about the Lord being our shepherd, we are his sheep. He leads us beside still, calm, quiet water, right? And you imagine a sheep being led to that calm, quiet water, feeling that peacefulness, drinking from this water. Well, this howling of the beast comes in and starts to disturb the water, disturb the peace, because the devil wants to disturb your feelings. If that whisper is to get into your head, doubt, distraction, start to distort your perception, this howl is now to disturb your feelings. Does God really care for me? Is this really what he wants? Does God even care or watching over me? And then the devil seeks to get you to howl along with him in a sense of woundedness over whatever it might be, your feelings. You start to howl, and the devil says, howl with me against God. Well, the purring, the howling, both subtler, if you will, tactics, and if these fail to have the full effect that the devil seeks, then yes, there is this all out, if I could do it, I would do it and just try and see if it would have that effect. I cannot. I cannot even begin to imitate the deep roar of a lion. I think of the movies, the MGM, you know, the MGM, Metro-Golden-Mayer, the animated lion starting the movie, and that roar. Again, if you had even a weak sound system, if the volume's up, it has an effect. A lion's roar. And here the purpose of the devil roaring, if you will, is to just completely shout down God's voice. You can't hear or perceive anything else but this roar of the devil. The shout is to shout out God's voice, to drown out your own reason, your own conscience, any twinges of faith that you still are holding on to, just roar. Just, you're separated, you're distracted, you're completely lost. The devil's ultimate goal through this is to isolate you as prey. You hear this? Is to scatter the flock, yes, God's sheep, to get them isolated individually, alone, and feeling disturbed and alone. Alone. Because when you are feeling alone and full of doubt and disturbed and paralyzed with fear, the devil's already pounced at that point and holding down and licking his chops. The devil wants your soul, but not necessarily for himself. He wants your soul away from God. The devil's attack, in some sense, is impersonal. Meaning, you think of an actual lion out in the Sahara or wherever this might be, but you see the wounded gazelle that's been separated from gazelles. Is it a herd or a flock? A group of gazelles. And the wounded one is lagging behind. They all scatter. They all take off in fear, but that one that can't make it. And the devil pounces. Now, is it a personal attack? No, I mean, the lion, I should say. The lion is hungry, doesn't care which gazelle is hungry. It's going after some food. The devil, in this sense, like a lion, when he attacks Christians, yes, he does hate Christians, but it's not because of us. He hates Christians because he ultimately, overall, hates God and is jealous more than we can even imagine of God. And the devil wants to take God's people away from God. What drives the devil is a hunger, but again, it's not for your soul. His hunger is simply hatred and anger and fury directed above all towards God, and then, because of our associated connection with God, to God's people. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 12. Starting at verse 12, right in the middle here, it says, "But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." His time is short. He's filled with fury, with his own wrath. Again, that relentless pacing and prowling. Verse 17 in Revelation 12, "Then the dragon," this is the devil, "was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus." The devil, here referenced as a dragon, has fury and wrath towards God and towards the woman's offspring. It is going back, way back to Genesis 3 again, speaking of the woman, Eve, but then particularly, specifically, the woman's offspring refers to believers in Jesus Christ. Those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus, the dragon is enraged and waging war. How can you resist this roar or the howl or the purr or whatever tactics the devil, and there's more? He'll use anything and everything to try and get at you. How do we resist? How can we not give in when he's on full attack? The first part of verse 8 in 1 Peter 5 here, 1 Peter 5, 8, the very first part, before mentioning the devil prowling around, it says, to you, to me, to Christians, be alert and of sober mind. Be alert and of sober mind. A month ago, first Sunday of January, which was New Year's Day, it's January 1st, for the sermon, I read through 1 Peter. The sermon was 1 Peter chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 that day. A couple weeks after that, I talking with my brother Jason Conrad, and he said, hearing the whole letter of 1 Peter read through, he was struck by a refrain that he noted more than once. And that refrain is, be alert and of sober mind. It appears first in the first chapter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:13, the words are slightly different, but it's basically saying, be alert and of sober mind so that you will set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus is revealed. Be alert, set your hope fully on Jesus Christ and the hope in Him. The second time is in 1 Peter 4:7. It says, so be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. You know, I think about it, if you're distracted, if you're questioning, if you're doubting, are you in a prayerful mode at that moment? The devil's already gotten you away, right? Be alert and sober mind so that you can pray. And then again here in 1 Peter 5, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You're standing watch as a Christian all the time, spiritually speaking. We are standing watch. Keep your eyes up. As I heard back in the Navy, keep your head on a swivel. Keep your ears open, watchful, alert, because the devil is relentless. There's no letting down. Be vigilant. Do not be complacent. Do not fall asleep. Do not be intoxicated. And that is under the influence of anything in this world and even by and of the world. Be alert spiritually and of sober mind aware. Now these three refrains, meaning be alert and of sober mind, point us to, we could say, two sides of the same coin. And I'm going to call the heads side, the main side, the best side, is be alert and of sober mind to focus on God. Always be aware of Him and His presence. First, going back to what it even mentioned in 1 Peter about so that you can pray. Be in continual prayer. Ephesians 6:18, the Apostle Paul writes, with this in mind, be alert, just like Peter here, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. And again, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the NIV, two words. You can take this verse home today, memorize it. Pray continually. Where we go, King James, pray without ceasing. Three words, you can still memorize that. You can take that home. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray continually all the time, looking to God. Similarly, be alert and of sober mind to God's presence. Right in the middle of the great Psalm, Psalm 23, says, I will fear no evil. Why? For you, Lord, my shepherd, are with me. Spiritually alert and of sober mind to pray and just simply be aware. God is right here, right there with you, wherever you are. Be alert and of sober mind to God's voice. Speaking of the shepherd, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. And Jesus says, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. You're listening, you're alert to the voice of Jesus. And be alert and of sober mind to God's power. His power. His power. We sang in A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, one little word. And that's talking about God's word, which every word is not little, but it's God's word. Will fell him, speaking of the devil and his demons. Ephesians 6 again refers to the word of God as the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So that's all one side of the coin. Be alert and of sober mind to pray, to be aware of God, His voice, and His power. The flip side is, as Peter says here, be alert and of sober mind to the devil. Don't forget, as long as we are in this world, in this life, the devil is after you and me. The devil is seeking to divert, distract, distort, divide us from the other side of the coin, God's power, His peace, His presence, His voice. Verse 9, 1 Peter 5, right after this, it says, resist him. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verse 9, resist him. Let me say this. You cannot resist the devil on your own. Peter just says, resist him. Let me tell you, do not even try to resist the devil on your own, meaning alone. Don't forget the first side of the coin, which is God. Picture this. Picture a hungry king of the beasts, a hungry lion, and a wounded sheep. 100 out of 100 times, I will put all my money on the lion in this battle. Do not put your money on a wounded sheep alone against a lion. Never will it happen. Now picture the same hungry, roaring lion outside of a 100-foot-thick wall that is also 100 feet tall. Lion's outside here. That sheep, not even wounded, inside here. You know, and the sheep, by the way, now is not alone. It's not even wounded. It's with other sheep. It's in green pastures. It's by quiet, still waters, fully protected by God. Can we even hear the lion's roar 100 feet through 100 feet? I don't know. If you can at all, it's like, what? Do you hear something? Oh, not really. He's out there, roar! Nothing he can do. Nothing he can do. The devil knows this, by the way. This is why, when I said earlier, the devil's ultimate goal is to get you isolated, at least thinking, feeling, I'm alone, I'm paralyzed, I don't even know what I believe anymore. That's where the devil wants to get you. That start ultimately away from God forever. But it'll start with getting you away from each other, from the body, from the flock. Starts there. Get you alone. Yeah, you don't need to go. You don't need to be with them. You don't need to, nah. God didn't really say. The devil knows this. I'm going to give two examples. One of the wrong way to resist the devil, if you will, and one of the right way. And the wrong way is in Acts 19. And here it's demons, not the devil himself, but evil spirits. Acts 19, verse 13 says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about. But who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Didn't go so well. What was their mistake? They said, I command you, evil spirit. I command you. Even though they had referenced Jesus and Paul, said I. Now, here's the right way. Going to the book of Jude. Jude, only one chapter, so there aren't any chapter numbers. So when I say Jude 9, it's simply the ninth verse in Jude. Jude 9 says, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you. This is the archangel Michael, stands in the presence of God. The name Michael means, it's like a, it can be a question form, who is like God? The flip side meaning, Michael means there is no one like God. And he's the archangel. So we take the heavenly host and put Michael is up here. Now, after Jesus, the Son of God himself, who would I say would have the best chance against the devil and the evil spirits? I think Michael might be my next choice. Gabriel up there too. This is Michael who says this. He didn't even dare to condemn the devil directly himself, but said, not I, but the Lord rebuke you. The Lord. That's the right way, by the way. And if you go back to Revelation chapter 12, it is Michael and his angels who defeat the dragon, the devil, and his demons. It's Michael. And Michael knows, I'm not going to say I against the devil. I'm going to say the Lord rebuke you. Now, having said all that, here is a spiritual judo move to use on the devil. I've been all waiting for this. If you looked at the outline. The word judo is Japanese, by the way, for the gentle way, judo. Judo emphasizes winning in combat by using your opponent's weight and strength as weapons against him, while preserving your own mental and physical energy. And I'd add in spiritual judo, preserving your spiritual energy in this. And what I'm going to say, it's a very limited niche for this, by the way. And this isn't so much taking on the devil on your own, just to understand that again. But there are times, I think, to agree with the devil. Now you say, wait, he's the father of lies, everything he says. No, you can't agree with him. But here's what I mean. If you feel or think the devil is taking an attack on you with the angle of coming down on you and saying negative things about you, you are so weak. You are miserable. You are despicable. You are unworthy of God's love. All these things that I've said, you say, true, true, right, right. I agree. The very definition of grace is undeserved. If it's about you and it's a negative attack like that, spiritual judo, and it's you're just simply agreeing, and then every blow that the devil is seeking to land on you doesn't hit you at all. In fact, it lands every single one on the cross. On the cross, on the cross, on the cross. This is what standing in God's grace means. I didn't read this verse to begin with, but 1 Peter 5:12, the end of the verse, it says, "This is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." Stand fast in it. You are in, brothers and sisters, you are in God's grace. Think of that 100-foot thick wall. Multiply it as thick as you want it to be. Keep going. That mighty fortress who is our God. Think of the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Think of the shield, which I'm not talking the shield of faith in Ephesians, but now Psalm 3. We sang the song, "Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me." That's from Psalm 3. Think of the cross. The cross. The devil thought he'd won at the cross. That is our ultimate victory. And all that negative stuff, which it, if it's directed toward you again, you can agree and it just lands on the cross. But if it's ever something about did God or it's about God, then you say, no, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. And then in Psalm 23 again, "Your rod and your staff, Lord, my shepherd, they comfort me, they protect me." He's right there. He's right here. He will not let the devil get to you. No matter how wounded or weak or down or discouraged or anything you are, your shepherd is there. He's right there. And ultimately, it really comes down to the blood. You are covered by the blood of the Lamb. The devil can do nothing with that blood. He hates that blood. He fears that blood. You're covered with the blood. Revelation 12, again, this whole battle chapter in Revelation. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, that's the devil, has been hurled down. They, believers, brothers and sisters, have triumphed over him, over the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Lamb's blood. Jesus Christ. God's grace, stand fast in it, stand firm in the grace of God, the true grace of God, is sufficient. Sufficient. Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, the Lord says, for my power, the power of the Lord is made perfect, complete, full in weakness. And the next verse, the Apostle Paul says, for when I, Paul, am weak, then I am strong. Head side of the coin. Praying, looking to God, it's God's power. Brothers and sisters, the spiritual battle is real. And battle fatigue is real. If there are days when your soul feels battered, feels tired, it's real. Because the devil is relentless. Now, I looked this up. We know what PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I put in SPTSD, which I meant the S to be spiritual. And if you've encountered spiritual warfare, you've had this, and you might be having this today. And as long as, again, we live in this life, we go through this, and it's real. I looked up SPTSD, and there actually is that acronym, and the S there stands for sub-threshold. I didn't look into it any further, but that fits as well. We're not even aware of it sometimes. It's below the threshold, but that's spiritual as well. Combat fatigue is real, spiritual shell shock. The devil keeps going after us. That's why Peter wrote this. He wrote this to Christians who were in exile, who were facing persecution, who were suffering. And Peter's saying, be alert and of sober mind. Now look at verse 10, or hear this with me from 1 Peter 5 again. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while. And that suffering is spiritual PTSD. It's life in this world. After you have suffered a little while, God himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Connects with the Lord's promise again in Psalm 23. The Lord restores my soul. You know, that word restore doesn't merely mean refresh. He does that as well. But it actually means to restore a wounded or lost sheep is one that is dying on the verge of death. And to be restored is to be brought back, to be revived, to be resuscitated, to be brought back into life by God. Restores my soul. James chapter 4, speaking of grace, 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 grace. James 4, 6 says, but he, the Lord, gives us more grace. You know, we never run out of grace. God's grace supply never diminishes. Full supply, 100%, all the time, all that we need, it is sufficient. And the very next verse in James 4, it's in the bulletin, verse 7. The first part, again, is key, the head side of the coin. Submit yourselves then to God in prayer, in awareness, his voice, God. Next part of the verse, resist the devil with God, and the devil will flee from you. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for your grace, which is sufficient. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being our shepherd. Help us to be aware and alert to you and your presence and your power and your voice all the time, so that even when we are disturbed, at least in the awareness sense of the devil and what he's doing in the church, what he's doing in other people's lives, what he's doing in this world, he is wreaking havoc. He is having his way in some ways. Yet, Lord, we get these words and we're reminded, we truly do not have anything to fear, for you are with us. We pray, Lord, that you would conquer him, vanquish him in this world, even now, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.